to. No one knows how hard I try. Oh, I have feelings I can't explain, driving me insane. All my life been
a podcast so hosted by two wise trees or a choir of 2,000 young fathers. And welcome to the Movie Ladder Podcast, where we're climbing the rungs of cinematic connections. Each week, we're discussing a movie that connects to the movie from the previous week's podcast. Last week, we talked about Poor Things, and this week, due to a 2024 Oscars and woman discovering the world outside of her initial bubble, we will be talking about, also nominated for Best Picture, among other awards, Barbie from 2023. And I'm not alone. I'm joined for the 220th time, nice round number, by...
I'm just Bren. Dan Fitzpatrick.
I think that's 2 weeks in a row with a good intro line from you.
Thanks, buddy.
And for the second week in a row, we promised it last week. Promises made, promises kept. LaTanya Starks back with us.
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, hi, LT.
I'm so excited to talk about this movie. I have been waiting to talk to someone who gives a shit about this movie for such a long time.
Oh, good.
Good. You can. I'm very excited to that it's not just two guys trying to explain Barbie to their audience, that we have someone who can explain Barbie to us.
Two wise trees.
Yes, two wise trees.
That line doesn't really work as an intro, but like, you know, you had to use the line.
It's so it's a good line.
It's so good. Yes.
I do feel like all of my interests are taking strays in Barbie, which is the intention. I know, but.
Of mine too. I love horses.
I'm not a big horses person, but I feel like there were other things in that movie where I was like,
what's not to like about horses? You know,
you fall off of them.
Only if they don't like you.
Yeah, that is true. I do enjoy going to the library and looking for books about trucks.
We'll talk about it. Tanya, I'm very glad that you are here. Last week, Barbie was the best thing you had watched. And so we're talking about Barbie again, almost exactly a week later. And yes, I'm glad it's the best thing you watched.
The funny thing is that the movie that I'll talk about for the best thing I watched this past week, when we get to that, is so different from Barbie that I don't even think that they're both in the same universe.
I really hope it's a new horror movie that I don't know about yet, because that's one of my favorite things to talk to you about as well.
All right, well, let me get through the intro very quick. At the end of the episode, we're going to send our next movie based on suggestions by you, the listeners, and us, your hosts. We're going to be spoiling Barbie. I'm sure everybody's listening has watched it, and there's not much to spoil. If you haven't seen it, it's on Max, but if you want to skip ahead, here we're going to be watching next week. Maybe it's The Godfather. Timestamp is in the description of this podcast. For some of you, that timestamp is clickable. Lucky people. But, of course... especially because we got LaTanya back with us again. You should pause the podcast, go watch Barbie so you're up to speed, and then listen to us talk about it. Send us your feedback at Ladder Movie on Twitter and Instagram, movieladder@gmail.com, movieladder on Letterboxd. LaTanya, what's the best thing you watched?
The Lighthouse.
Yes.
Ooh. I saw.
Could have laddered to The Lighthouse from last week with Willem Dafoe.
Yeah. I watched it for the first time this week. I went into it with no expectations whatsoever. I knew that it was going to be basically a two-hander, which is, you know, saying a lot. And I loved it so much. It was so weird. And
it's unhinged.
My God, Robert Eggers, he knows how to make a movie.
He really does.
Like, he knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And it's just masterful to watch. Willem Dafoe, when he gives the hark monologue, it's just like, how could you ever dislike this man? Like, what are you doing in life if you aren't on the Willem Dafoe train?
Absolutely. I'm really happy to have the phrase, "you're fond of me lobster." I've seen it in my lexicon as something I can just randomly shout at people. It's like, it's so fun to do.
And also, Robert Pattinson is like a really good actor.
He's a really good actor. Yeah.
I feel like he and Kristen Stewart have had to rise above the Twilight. And just like prove to people that they actually could act. I feel like Kristen Stewart did that for me way sooner than Robert Pattinson. But Yeah, he's fantastic and unhinged in all of the right ways in this movie, and it's just really cool to watch.
It took a while for Robert Pattinson, I feel like, to really become like a respected name. Like he's in some smaller indie films. He's been in a lot of the guys who made, like, he was in Good Time.
The Safdies.
I was like, I know they're brothers, but I can't think of their names. But I remember, like, when he got the Batman gig, everybody's like, wait, really? The Twilight guy is going to be Batman? And I think at that point, after Batman, now I feel like he's, and Tenet as well, I feel like people really put a lot more respect on him.
Yeah, he's really, really good in The Lost City of Z, which is a highly underrated film. I know. Yeah,
still never saw that.
I know, Zach, you said you haven't seen it. LT, if you haven't seen The Lost City of Z, highly recommend it. It's a really interesting adventure story about a guy who travels to the Amazon on an adventure. Robert Pattinson is the second lead in it. It's really, really good. It's a little more like, I guess, like, heavy on the, like, theology and mythology than, like, your straight up Indiana Jones type story, but it had some of those elements too.
It's James Gray directed it. He did I almost call it Dad Astra, because that's what everybody calls it. He did Dad Astra. He makes a lot of like movies about complicated relationships with fathers.
I feel like recently Ad Astra, like, it was something that was not in my lexicon of things to think about. Mm-hmm. And then very recently Ad Astra has just been in my world way too much. My boyfriend owns the Blu-ray, and he like put it in a stack of movies for me to choose from, where I ended up choosing The Lighthouse. But Ad Astra was on top, and it was like the third time that he's talked to me about Ad Astra. And I was just like, dude, it's just not going to happen.
I like
that's very relevant to this week.
Well, I like, yeah, that's true, that too. And I like all the movie ladder connections between like James Gray made a movie. So like lots of good connections. So Latanya, you were on last week to talk about Poor Things. Would you say who makes more unhinged movies, Robert Eggers or Yorgos Lanthimos?
That's tough.
Very tough.
Because
or movies you prefer, if you prefer to go
there. I mean, that's the thing, because Robert Eggers, as I lose my voice on a podcast, which everyone loves to listen to, he's responsible for The Witch, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, that is one of my like favorite more recent horror movies.
Brilliant.
But Yorgos, I feel like, even starting all the way back, like with Dogtooth, like his mind just is not on the same realm as the rest of us. Mm-mm. And the things that he comes up with, the things that he finds funny, the things that he finds minds humanity from, are always so surprising to me. And I do have to say that I probably like A Killing of the Sacred Deer slightly more than The Witch. So I think I go with, as Emma Stone would say, Yorgo.
Yeah, the Yorgos Lanthimos, Robert Eggers, Ari Aster generation of filmmakers that has come up in the last like 10 to 15 years is just some of the most unhinged films you've ever seen in your life, and they're all good. I'm not love Ari Aster, even if his films make me very, very uncomfortable. I actually like really loved Beau Is Afraid when I saw that earlier this year.
I know, me too.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting to like it because you probably saw all of the reviews were like, what is happening? Why has he done this? Why do I have to suffer through it? And I was just like, this is a wonderful journey.
I'm not suffering. I'm actually enjoying this. This is great. Yeah.
Just never break up with Ari Aster, though.
No, not at all.
Just a bad idea.
Never. All right. Well, anything else on The Lighthouse, Lasagna? Maybe we're doing The Lighthouse next week, based in the pattern of your favorite things being the things that we do.
No, I while I can find connections between The Lighthouse and Barbie, I really want to just throw all of the estrogen pics at you all and see what happens.
You're gonna be our Robert Eggers and just come at us completely unhinged. Okay.
Cool. I'm excited.
Taking us on this ride. All right, Brendan, what is your best thing you watched this week?
Yeah, I watched a lot of movies over the weekend. Not a lot of them particularly that great. Most of them like 3.5-ish stars. I will say that one of the movies I watched for St. Patrick's Day, I watched a bunch of Irish films. There's a small animated movie that came out in 2009 called Secret of the Kells that is some of the most beautiful animation I've ever seen put to film. It's basically, it's a really low commitment watch. It's only about 80 minutes, and it's a Irish folktale about a young boy who goes into the forest outside of his town in Ireland to retrieve a magical item and bring it back to his village.
Mm-hmm.
And this film is gorgeous. The Brendan Gleeson is one of the voice actors, because of course he is, because it's a film made in Ireland and he was available that day. But I really loved this film because the main character's name was Brendan.
Oh, yes. And the actor.
And so his uncle, every time he would say Brendan, I would sort of like get like a jolt up my spine and be like, wait, what? Oh, the film.
Yeah. Did you watch this on St. Patrick's Day?
I watched this before we went out. On Saturday. The Saturday before St. Patrick's Day. So to sort of get me in the mood for our festivities. I would say that's the best thing I watched this week. Second to that, speaking of Brendan Gleeson, I did catch up on Calvary, Zach, which I know you have seen, which is the Brendan Gleeson film where he plays a Catholic priest who receives a death threat. Really enjoyed that movie as well. A lot of similar vibes in that one to The Irishman, but Banshees of Inisherin.
Yep.
But I didn't think it was as good as Banshees, but I really enjoyed that as well. So if people are looking for something Ireland-based to watch for the movie, the Library Ladder Challenge of Irish Times over the next 2 weeks, those are two ones I'd recommend, Secret of the Kells and Calvary.
Yeah. Nice. Library Ladder suggestions for people. Mm-hmm. And we did see each other. Latanya, did you go see the Green River this weekend for St. Patrick's Day in Chicago?
No.
No, because you're not a tourist.
I was out. Like, I was just literally in transit. Like, I got an Uber, and that was my day. Mm-hmm. But there were too many people outside.
Yeah.
Like, it was a problem. They were everywhere.
I've never made it down to Chicago for St. Patrick's Day, but I do often see the river, and looks fun.
I saw it on Twitter. Is that the same thing?
Yeah, basically. That's where I've seen it. Nice. All right. Well, I did not watch many movies because I was in D.C. Hanging out with Brendan for a little bit.
Yep.
So I have one movie that
Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
Yes, oh, happy birthday.
Yeah. I'm older now, but it's fine.
Well, that's how it works.
That is how it works. I guess it's an accomplishment every year.
If you were getting younger, then we'd be concerned.
We'd be Benjamin Buttoning, which we already did on this podcast. So I have a movie I have not yet finished because I stayed at Mac and Sarah's, who have been guests on this podcast. I stayed at their house on St. Patrick's Day night on the 17th, and Mac likes to watch a movie that's come up on this podcast a lot. Darby O'Gill and the Little People is his favorite.
Yes.
So we watched it late at night after like a decent amount of drinks during the day. So I still have about half hour left in this and I've not gotten to watch it, but what I did see I really liked. It's like very like fun, like I love like the way it's shot with the different size people and like the just like
people,
yeah, like the like, but like then like the I feel like there's like also giants. I guess it's like this is the perspective makes people look like giants.
There's a banshee
and we get Sean Connery before he was James Bond. Like it reminds me,
and it's wonderful.
Yeah, it reminded me a lot of I'm blanking out. What's the Irish movie we did?
Banshees of Inisherin.
No, not Banshees of Inisherin. There's something else that it reminded
Brooklyn.
Me. No, I
that's
lost.
That's it. There are
had,
no more.
I
Irish
had it in
movies.
My mind.
What?
No, I don't know. Okay, never mind. It reminded me of some movie that we've done on this podcast, but now I'm blanking. Oh, The Quiet Man. That was
Quiet Man. Yes.
Reminded me of Quiet Man. So I can't say that's the best thing I watched because I haven't finished it, but that's the best thing I started. And I'm surprised that this is what I'm going with the best thing that I finished. But I actually thought this movie was super charming, had very good chemistry between the leads. Mm-hmm. It's not a great movie, but it is like if you like the wedding com genre, 2023's Anyone But You, starring Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney, was like kind of fun to watch.
No.
Latanya's shaking her head at me.
Oh, no.
Good God. A quote-unquote Shakespeare adaptation?
Yes, it's an adaptation of Much Ado About Nothing, and there allegedly. Are like,
oh, that's fun.
And allegedly, it opens like one of the first shots is like a brick wall with like graffiti with like a Shakespeare quote on it. Like there are like Shakespeare quotes that pop up. Like it is not as fun of like a modern Shakespeare as 10 Things I Hate About You, which is like much better in this movie. And like I think like a lot of like what like Mamma Mia and My Best Friend's Wedding also better than this, but like. I don't know. I just thought like this was an enjoyable way. I did like my mom came here for dinner, and so we watched Anyone But You together because like my mom is very sensitive to movies. So like I need stuff that'll be like easy, even though there's like some sex stuff in here is a little awkward.
A lot of nudity.
a lot of like almost nudity.
Isn't like that? Never mind. I don't want to spoil it, but I know something about the ending of that film that let's get very awkward.
The closing credits is very fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
It confuses me because I love Glenn Powell.
I do too.
I feel like he could have chemistry with a tree stump. Like
he's gonna have chemistry with Twister later this year.
Exactly. Yeah. And I actually really do like Sydney Sweeney a lot. I think that she's a good actress who just doesn't get credit for being a good actress because she happens to be attractive and blonde, which is a through line that we'll talk about more in this podcast. But like There's something so you know those women who like are obsessed with Eat, Pray, Love, and they have those like wooden signs that just say Dream on their walls, like
right. Live, laugh,
in their bathroom. Yes. Often, yeah.
That is the target audience for that movie.
So, have you seen this movie, or Latanya, or is this just your opinion before you?
No, I've seen it.
Okay. Yeah. I do think the helicopter scene is like I thought that was like very like kind of a touching scene. I don't know. So this movie just like hit me in the right spot.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. I am. Yeah. And I'm glad that you enjoyed it with your mom because it is exactly the type of movie that you would watch with a parent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like there's some sex stuff, but it's pretty tame for the most part, I feel like. And I do feel like Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney, like, together are, like, two of the most attractive people I've ever seen. I'm like, it's insane. So, I think it's coming to Netflix soon. And once this movie hits Netflix, I feel like this is going to have such a revitalization. Because, like, people are, like, Gen Z are going to be all about this movie when it's on Netflix.
It already made a ton of money. Like, it way over made its budget back. Yeah. So, like.
I would love to see those two together in like, you know, I don't want to see Anyone But You two, but I'd love to, if they did like a Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan thing where they just do a bunch of rom-coms together or like, you know, some of the different 40s pairings. I think that could be very fun.
They have been asking, like telling Hollywood, we want to do a movie together, send us scripts that we can do another movie together.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Speaking of Sydney Sweeney, I saw you and her being a good actress. I saw Euphoria is going to film this summer. They're actually going to be able to get, I cannot believe how big of stars the three stars from that movie have become since season two. And somehow they're going to be, they must have them under contract because somehow they're going to be able to get them back for season three.
Yeah. Love Euphoria.
Well, I mean, the same thing's happening with The Bear where they're filming season three and four back to back because of the blowing up of the schedules of Evan Mosbacharach, Iyad Edebiri, and Jeremy Allen White. Like they have to film both seasons like at the same time so that they don't lose them. You know.
Good point.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have to start talking about Barbie. We're ways into this podcast and have not gotten there. So Barbie came out last year. We'll have the list of awards. It has been suggested on this podcast a number of times. All the way back, episode number 185, Kevin Mahadeo suggested this off of Batman Begins. And I feel like that must have been like the weekend of Barbenheimer.
Yeah,
because it was back in like July. So that was the first time it came up. Then it came up off of Jingle All the Way. I suggested it. You know, toys
coming to
mind. Oh, okay. I feel like I learn something new about Kevin every day. like you never think that he's going to recommend the things that he loves love the things that he loves. And it's so funny to see him just kind of exist in the world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Kevin has a very chaotic energy, same as you did coming into this, saying that, you know, all of your ideas were just chaos at the end of this. I think Kevin has the same mentality when it comes to appearing on this, where he's just going to, like, try to see what ridiculous thing we might pick of his. Yeah.
So. A couple other times it came up. Nice guys. Brendan, you suggested it. Ryan Gosling connection. Other guys, I suggested it. Will Ferrell connection. So we're circling back to all of these. And then Big Short, I think Gosling and this was suggested by Ron for both Gosling and Margot Robbie. And then one more time, this came up off of Wolf of Wall Street. Alex O suggested this Margot Robbie film. And then last week I suggested this off of Poor Things, because I do think like there are a lot of similarities, which we'll get into, but like kind of the journey that our lead characters take in both Poor Things and Barbie.
And I mean, this is a conversation that I've sort of been having since I saw both of these films, is sort of the like, okay, do you, can you enjoy both films, or is one of them the better made idea of the same concept, where
that's a great question for Latanya.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm just, let me finish my thought, because I mean, I think that the idea is like, you know, at least, you know, the see, now I'm like totally
Sorry, I threw you off.
You threw me off. So never
I jump mind. In. Yeah. I jump in your. So, I jump in your pauses, Brendan, because you're so
you do, and it's annoying, and it's really annoying. And I've gotten complaints in my text messages about you constantly interrupting me. So
sure.
The complaints were from me.
Why doesn't he let you talk more?
He doesn't let you talk at
all. It's because he's Ken and I'm Barbie. That's why.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Exactly. Every relationship has one as a Ken and a Barbie. She said heteronormatively. So yeah, like the two journeys that Bella Baxter and Barbie. It's just, sometimes I can't believe the sentences that come out of my mouth when I'm on these podcasts. The two journeys are very similar. And at the end, Barbie gets genitals. So like, you know, I've frankly never been so excited about going to the gynecologist as she was. But I guess that has to be some woman's truth. I just don't know her. But yeah, they're very similar kind of journeys through fantastical worlds. And they're beautiful movies as well. Like Barbie is just, I love how they depleted the pink paint, like population of the world, building the sets and like doing everything they needed to do for this movie. It's just like I said last week, I had no idea when I first heard they were going to be making a live action Barbie, how that would even work. Mm-hmm. And then Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach come in and I'm like, okay, well I trust them implicitly. So I'll just sit back and see what happens. And I did not expect to love this movie as much as I did. I did not expect to be able to relate to Barbie because she's Barbie. Mm-hmm. Like she, you know, like growing up for me, I play with Barbies all the time. I had like collector's edition Barbies. I was like very into Barbie, but Barbie never resembled me or anyone that I knew. In fact, is an impossible standard of beauty. Like I think that you'd have to be 14 feet tall or something like that to have the proportions that Barbie has. So
I bet you like Mythbusters has done that or something,
which is kind of ironic, you know, which is what kind of the idea behind the very beginning of the film when they do the like giant monolith Barbie with the 2001 intro is like you're watching this giant unnaturally tall figure amongst these, you know, this gaggle of children just staring up at her legs because they're like so massive. You know, and it's like, this is like, that, and that's the like argument that the daughter makes later on, right? Is this impossible idea of Barbie that sort of, quote unquote, in her idea, ruined a generation of women and set feminism back to 50 years. I don't know if, you know, because it's not my perspective to say that, but I understand that point of view, like, you know, because that happens a lot with anything that becomes zeitgeisty in popular culture. It's going to change the way people think about the people that popular culture is representing.
Right. And it's just classic first and like very early second wave feminism type stuff. Mm-hmm. The idea of Barbie, like when she was actually made, the dream of women was to be able to have their own house and mm-hmm. have any job they wanted that didn't involve domestic work. And mm-hmm. so you were able to make that, you know, a reality with a doll. And I completely like buy into all the arguments about how it maybe set, you know, back women's lib. And it's just because it's one of the first toys that you have that like mm-hmm. that you really understand when you really understand what's going on in the world. Like most kids up to a certain age have no idea they even exist. And right. And they're just like, you know, playing with their like blocks or whatever. And then all of a sudden you get to the age where you're old enough for a Barbie and you like, you know, get to do all of the clothing changes because it's all so cosmetic. Like everything mm-hmm. about it is so superficial and it's just a veneer to Barbie. Really interesting documentary. I think it's on Hulu about how I don't think this woman is in charge of Barbie anymore. But mm-hmm. It was like this lesbian woman was like in charge of Barbie and like wanted to oversee the production of dolls that look like people and not just like Barbie. And there was so much backlash to it because you're messing with people's nostalgia in a lot of ways. But also just being inclusive is such a problem for so many people these days. For
sure. Yeah.
Or I guess always, really.
It always has been, yeah. I mean, that's the thing, yeah.
But yeah, there's just like a lot of really interesting, almost like metadata behind the whole like facade of Barbie. And then the idea of choosing someone like Margot Robbie to play her, mm-hmm. that's already an actress that I believe right. gets taken less seriously because she is so beautiful.
Right, because, I mean, we literally see the manifestation of that in The Big Short when they're like, mm-hmm. okay, here to explain housing regulation is Margot Robbie in a bubble bath so that you'll right. actually listen to what she's saying. Like, yeah, so it's yeah. like you set up this beautiful woman to talk about this very smart thing, but we made her in a very provocative space so that you as the idiot male audience would pay attention to her.
Right.
And it's like, good.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm really glad that, like, LaTanya, I'm glad that you love this movie so much. And, like, I don't think I'm the target audience for this movie. I also was very curious into this watch. If the first time I saw it, I was very underwhelmed. And I love Greta Gerwig's movies. Like, Lady Bird is one of my favorite movies. I think she's also a great actress. Like, I really like her and Frances Ha. I like Noah Baumbach movies. Like, I think he often has, like, together, they often write, and Noah Baumbach directs, like, very smart relationship movies that have something to say that is not something that everybody has said. And I feel like when I saw this after seeing Oppenheimer, because I saw it 5 minutes after Oppenheimer ended, we crossed the theater and went to this. And I was like, okay, well, maybe that's not a fair way to judge this movie, because I just, like, Oppenheimer, I think, does have a lot to say. And so I was excited to give this another go yesterday, and I still, like, this movie just still doesn't work for me. I think there's some stuff it does great. Like, I do think there's some really good, and I want to get into that, too. But the main thing, last week I kept coming back to the word provocative, right? That was the word I wrote in my notes. I was like, one word you can boil down Poor Things to is, like, it's provocative. And what my problem with Barbie, my biggest problem with Barbie is, you know, the guy with the problem with Barbie is I think that it undercuts, like, what it is trying to say gets undercut so much by bad humor and low hanging fruit humor more is what I should say. Like, even the very first scene, which I saw in the trailer too, is like, it is taking the 2001 Space Odyssey opening that everybody has parodied, and it's parodying it. And it's like, it's the same as like when everybody was doing the Matrix kick back in the early 2000s. It's like this, and they do the Matrix joke on this too. I'm like, it just undercuts like what could be a good message by like just low, what I feel like is low hanging fruit.
See, I think part of, I think I agree with like the premise of your argument in the way that I think that this, my issue with this movie overall with the thematics of it is it feels like Greta Gerwig intentionally made a movie that if you didn't like it, you're the problem, and I'm telling you you're the problem in the movie by making fun of you within the movie. And that you don't have an argument against the things that don't work in this movie, because then you're one of the people that is an asshole or an idiot within this movie. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, she's defending critics of the movie against criticism of the movie within the movie, so that it's hard to make any argument about the things that aren't working. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing I was pushing up against every time I was getting into this movie, is that there would be some kind of joke where I was like, I like that joke, but that's also like the line somebody on Twitter is going to use against anybody on Twitter who says they didn't like this movie. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're going to be like, well, maybe you should go watch The Godfather.
Yeah. And I'm glad, I'm very glad this movie exists, because a lot of people love it. I mean, this kind of opened the door, I feel like, to like a lot of people watching the Oscars that wouldn't have watched the Oscars otherwise. Yeah, kind of like what I would say for me when I was younger, what Titanic did for the Oscars. That was really the first year I got into the Oscars, was the Titanic year. So I like the doors that this opens, and I am not by any means saying like this is a bad movie. Even though I probably did say this is bad, I don't like this movie.
I also think that I'm not even sure I'm the target audience for this movie. Mm-hmm. I feel like the target audience for this movie is 12 to 19. Mm-hmm. Just learning about the way the world works and questioning the power structures within it. We need a simple explanation of what feminism is that can also pass standards and practices and not get written out of our scripts. And we're doing this to create a new generation of film fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this movie could have been so bad too. I think the fact this movie is not the Mattel stamp of approval movie. Movie does push the envelope in some ways. Even if I think it's kind of safe with what it does. I think what you just said, LaTanya, it does, the Sashas of the world, the Sasha character, she's the target audience for this movie.
Exactly.
Maybe. Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just it's interesting because it focuses so much on the relationships between women. I think that's something that Greta Gerwig does really well, is focusing on female relationships and just how we can be each other's biggest cheerleader, or we could be each other's downfall. Mm-hmm. The way that that. I'm blanking on her name, Sasha, the way that she reads Barbie when she shows up to school. Yeah. It's just that's a teenager.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's what everyone is dealing with. Yeah.
Teenagers really are mean.
They really are.
The kids are the worst.
They're also super gullible though. I learned in teaching a lot of debate camp, I got them to believe all kinds of shit that just wasn't true. So that can be fun.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that there's a lot in this movie, like Zach was saying, that actually does work, and LT, you hit on it. I think that the real highlight of this film is the visual style, the production design, the lengths they went to do the costumes and the hair and makeup and production design of everything about this film is so gorgeous and so on point for both the joking marketing cutaways to discontinued Barbies or discontinued Kens that are just hilarious.
I'm assuming those are all real. They're all real.
Yeah, they're all real.
Absolutely. Like, so real. The one where the boobs expand.
Absolutely, totally real.
Had it.
Oh, nice. All right. You still have it? You
could probably make one. The one with the TV in the back. Oh, yeah.
I feel like I remember that one.
So I think that this movie does a really great job at capturing that. And the fact that they were able to get away with not just highlighting the Barbies that still exist, but make fun of the ones that no longer do, is a really big win for the tone of this film. And I think that where it falls down in some of the comedy, and we'll get into, is there there are elements of this film that honestly don't really need to be here. And one of those elements goes by the name of Will Ferrell. Zach, we talked back on the other guy's pod about the Will Ferrell threshold. Mm-hmm. And Will Ferrell, there are some movies he's really fantastic, really great, and some movies where it just isn't working with him. And I think this is a movie that Will Ferrell is on his own planet in a way that doesn't work for what this film is trying to do. And it didn't work for me on this rewatch, and it didn't work for me in the original watch.
Huh. That's interesting. I just think that, he's just redoing Lord Business.
Mm.
But, live action. Like, make it live action.
President Business, yeah.
Yeah, President Business. And I'm okay with that because I forgot he was in the movie. Mm. So when he popped up, I was like, oh, great, Will Ferrell's here. Like, because that's usually how my brain reacts to Will Ferrell. He was not a super necessary part of this movie, I agree. But there were, a lot of really clever things that I just love about this movie. And then I'll talk about probably the thing that most people have been criticized for in talking about this movie. So I just, this movie has so many jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very hard to write and, carry off a joke well. And I think that this movie manages to do it. There's, a few jokes a minute in some places. The surreality of, everything that's happening and, the idea that they have to, take a car to a boat, to a spaceship.
To a jet ski. To a spaceship, yeah. Then a jet ski, then a, yeah, to rollerblades. It's incredible. I love that.
One of the things I really like is, just the weird mechanics of Barbie Land. Yes. I have, we could have, and I said this to Brendan yesterday, I was like, we could spend the whole podcast just talking about, does every girl with a Barbie, is that its own Barbie Land? Right. It's is this all in?
Right, is right, this right. All in, is this only America Ferrera's Barbie Land?
Right.
Because what kind of confused me as well, is because when Barbie goes to the real world, America Ferrera's character seems to be under the impression that she brought her Barbie to life. But that doesn't seem to be the premise that the Will Ferrell character is working from, because he's like, well, this has happened before with Skipper.
Right, with and Skipper, not with
so
another Barbie. Yeah.
What are the actual mechanics? And I understand that it doesn't matter, right, because the movie tells you it doesn't matter, but America Ferrera multiple times is like, but then I brought a doll to life. And I'm like, but did you? Because I thought she was already alive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very confused. What?
Yeah. And I think it's you're not supposed to, you're not supposed to ask those questions. But I do think just the weird ways that this Barbie world, the Barbie world exists, mm-hmm. and she pours her milk and nothing comes out of it. And the acting that Margot Robbie does in those scenes too, right? Her and Gosling are both so good in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Just they really lean into it. And even some of the, even Will Ferrell, who I did not like the first time, I think the performance, the character is what I don't like. I think the performance on this watch, I was kind of like, I get what he's doing. He is playing Lord Business again, which very clear connection to something for next week potentially. But I just think that is the stuff I don't, that's where I was out on this movie the first time. I was into everything when it's her in Barbie Land and then her finally, her arriving in Oz and her being a fish out of water in L.A., all of that, was fun. And if the movie was she goes to, we just don't have any of the stuff with, we're trying to have a commentary on, the boardroom of Mattel, which is not accurate. And it's Mattel safely poking fun of itself at itself. Mm. It rings kind of hollow to me.
Yeah, that's understandable. I will pivot to something that I said earlier about insufferable people talking about this movie, mm-hmm. because it's obviously a celebration of women and femininity and everything. Mm-hmm. But I cannot come on a podcast and talk about Barbie and not talk about Ryan Gosling. Yeah. He is maybe the best thing about this movie.
And that's really hard to say. Yeah. Just don't want the backlash. Yeah. But I kind of agree.
he's just so committed to the bit
that
you have to kind of admire it. His body language when he's practicing, like he would, how he would speak to someone when he sees all the men interacting in the real world. The so fact good. That he thought the patriarchy was about horses, like,
and then he realized the horses were just extensions of
right, body. Which I think is like a I think it's funny that like the ultimate villain of this movie ends up being the patriarchy, like that's kind of like the like. I think that stuff, like that idea on paper really kind of makes sense. I think like when he grabs the books and the books, I tried to write down the names of the books, but they were like, why men rule the world. Like they weren't, it would have worked so much better if he used actual book, like actual examples of books and not so over the top. Why men are the best, like is the title of the book. It's just like, it's like, okay, well, you're not actually you're not pointing anything out. You're just like making something up to like make this point. Does that make
sense? Clearly, you've never heard of Alpha Dom if you think that those books don't exist.
I have not heard of Alpha Dom, but if there is a book like that, like I would much rather have that be the book that he grabs instead of something that is like so cartoonishly over. And that's like, and that's a lot of times where I'm like, oh, what this is going for, what this is trying to say is so like, it needs to be said. It's good stuff that should be said. But then like the legs get cut out from under. Like I just kept being like, oh, you cut the legs out from under it by like, having it's like the boardroom so over the top and having like like that's this I wish that it that like Greta didn't do this, and maybe this was the only way to get Mattel to sign onto it was to like be like, yeah, this is gonna be like a little bit safe on this stuff.
But also that's kind of how life feels sometimes.
That's very true. Women. Yeah.
Okay.
Like that's like rooted in legitimate actual human experiences that I've had where I've just been in a room full of guys.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to get a word in edgewise or not be like made the butt of some joke that's ultimately about like, you know, their own ego or satisfaction. Like it's just different in the same way that like if we were watching Moonlight, for example, I'd be like, you can't understand. Like it's impossible to understand how cartoonish it seems to like live in a world of just dudes who are in charge of things, even though they keep fucking everything up.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a great way to put it, to be like, well, it does feel cartoonish at times. And that kind of like jives with, I feel like the America Ferrera monologue, right? Mm-hmm. People pointed that like, oh, that is so like on the nose. And like, I actually thought like on this watch, it didn't bother me as much as the first time.
It's accurate. But I mean, I think that there are points where everybody feels like that. Like, and that's where I butt up against the movie a little bit. I'm not like trying to take anything away from the feminist angle, but I think that like the movie does a lot of commentary on just anxiety and self-consciousness that all people feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's something that's so relatable about the America Ferrera character for both men and women, is a lot of what she's expressing isn't just the femininity thing, but anyone who has like self-confidence issues, anxiety issues, has felt othered.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up feeling othered. And so I was able to take something away from that monologue. Like I was able to relate to it in some way. And I think that that's what I appreciate about it, is like, yes, on the surface, it's about like women, but it's also relatable to anyone who has felt othered.
Which I feel like is even kind of like the Kens end up getting that message at the end, right? Because the Kens are like, oh, we felt othered in this world.
Now you get it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I do think like what Latanya just said too about it does feel cartoony. Like the cartooniness is like, it feels so ridiculous sometimes. Like, I think that does really mesh with the message that that the character, what is her name? I know it's America Ferrera's the Gloria is her name, Gloria. Which I don't know if they ever say. Do they ever say her name in this movie?
At some point they do. Yeah. But it's not nearly enough.
Yeah.
Times no one's name is said enough.
It's not enough.
The other thing that I had to like come to grips with in this movie is that apparently, you know, the patriarchy is dark and full of terrors, and I'm a part of it, because I would love to sit down and watch The Godfather.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. Is like, yeah, I mean, I don't like, and as a guy that like has a podcast and talks about movies every week, I felt personally attacked by that line, but yeah. I also totally get it. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. Anytime that my sisters like recommend a movie to me, I always hesitate because I'm like, well, I don't want you to like not like it. And then, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. we have to have a whole conversation about how you're wrong, and I don't want to do that. You know,
yeah, no one wants that. It's too. Well,
and that's, I mean, is that not what we're doing right now?
I know.
Like, where I'm like, this is why I didn't like yeah. Barbie. Like, let me tell you what I took away from Barbie. Like, it is like talk about feeling self-conscious. Like this.
Exactly.
This whole podcast.
The most self-conscious movie we've ever done.
Yeah, yeah.
So like,
that's great. Actually, I think that men need to be out of their comfort zones way more because until like mm-hmm. a lot of people listening will understand me when I say this. But until you've been sang at by a man, not to, but at, then you truly cannot understand the goal of this movie. Like, it is, some of the things are just so true. Like, that is a scene that I have lived.
What song? Playing, do you remember?
I don't. It could have been Wonderwall. I think it was like the Goo Goo Dolls. It was some.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, was it Iris?
I felt personally attacked during that scene because I love Push and I love that whole CD. That whole Matchbox 20 CD was like one of my favorite CDs growing up. And I remember when I was in the theater and when I first saw this movie and I'm in the theater and they start playing Push, I felt like I was just like, what the fuck? I'm like, I like this song. I'm like, is this me?
I thought about saving this for my one last thing, but I'll put it here since we're talking about Push. I think my favorite, like, post Barbie coming out tweet that immediately got just ravaged and told to shut up was Rob Thomas trying to come out and be like, Push is actually about how I don't have an abusive girlfriend. It's not about pushing a female around. It's about how I was abused by my girlfriend. And it's like, dude, nobody cares. Shut up.
Yeah, read the room, guys. Yeah,
read the room.
He also probably got so much royalty money off of Push being used in this song. So
dude,
I'm sure
take your Push check and just go away. Nobody cares right now, dude.
That is the complaint of a man who was so excited to hear that his song was going to be featured in a movie called Barbie. Yep. Yep. And then he watched the movie and was like, wait a minute.
What have I done? He's literally the Will Arnett gif. Oh, I made a huge mistake.
Speaking of Will Arnett, I feel like Tony Hale should have been in this movie at some point. Like, I just think he should have been one of the guys with Will Ferrell who worked for Mattel.
He would have made a good Alan, too. But I think Michael Cera kills it as Alan.
Yeah, Michael Cera is good as Alan. I think, like, another thing that I felt when I saw this movie... Mm. Again, I'm like feeling very subconscious saying that line. But it's like a thought that I had when I was watching this movie. It was just like how gender binary this film is. Where I feel like they do try to like bring in a lot of different diverse characters, right? Like there's the Barbie that's in the wheelchair. There's Barbies of different races, like Barbie and Kens of different races too.
There's a trans Barbie.
That was my question. Is Alan supposed to be like a non-binary Barbie, or who's the trans Barbie? Like,
no, he's Ken's friend. Who is gay.
Yeah, he's Ken's friend, and all of Ken's clothes fit him.
Yeah, he's gay. Alan is the gay Barbie. Yeah.
Barbie is basically Ken's beard, and Alan is Barbie's or is Ken's boyfriend. Yep. And then the actress Hari Neff, is in this movie serving. Really, she's a doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Dr. Barbie. Yeah,
yeah.
She's the one that gets dressed as a maid, right? And they're like, "But you're a doctor."
Yeah, yeah. Like, and it's so funny because the way that she plays that scene, it's the one where he's like, "Let me take off your glasses so you can realize."
Oh yeah, yeah, it's like and straight out of what's
oh that
what's,
okay.
She's
that's,
the
okay.
one. Is that what it's called? She's the one. Or
yes. She's all that.
She's all that. That. Yeah, yeah. She's all that. Brother.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Oh my God. Yeah, I just tried to Google Dr. Barbie, which was not, that did not help.
Oh no.
But now I know, now you said it's the Barbie that had, take your glasses off Barbie.
And you could tell that part of her was like trying to act in that scene, but like a much bigger part of her was like, oh my God, Ryan Gosling is right here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's like, I feel like it wasn't like it wasn't that readily apparent. But that does make that does kind of qualm one of my like concerns, because I was like, well, this is very much like men are Ken, women are Barbie, and like there's like it was like that. And I actually thought when I saw this movie the first time, I was like, this is going to get a lot of flack for that, for not being progressive enough. And I feel like I never really heard anybody bring that up, but
yeah, I feel like a combination of things happen. Like, one is that no one wants to shit on the billion-dollar movie about women.
Except me.
That's part of the thing, yeah.
It takes a special person on their special day to come in and do that. But, like, also, it's just that intersectional feminism is a really difficult concept, and, like, no one understands it. Mm-hmm. Like, people read books about it, and they're like, oh, okay, the sisterhood. And it's like, no, bitch. Like, you don't understand what you just read. You and like, coming from the extremely privileged position that Greta Gerwig comes from, she can, like, never really understand intersectional feminism. And so there's always going to be, like, a white feminist spin that's put on these movies, because that's palatable.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, it, you know, it like... I do think this movie opened dialogue for people and conversation that would not have necessarily happened without this movie. I mean, it was the biggest, was this the number one movie of last year?
Yeah, it absolutely was.
Yeah.
4 weeks.
But I mean, like, number one over for the whole year. Was this the biggest movie of last year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think, like, we haven't talked at all about Oppenheimer, and who knows, like, maybe we do that next week, or the Barbenheimer, not Oppenheimer, but, like, maybe we end up doing Oppenheimer next week. But, like, Latanya, do you have a sense of, like, this being the, like, cultural phenomenon of Barbenheimer, like, do you think that changes anything about this movie, or, like, how this movie was taken in?
Yes, because no one wanted to be uncool and be like, I'm not going to see Barbie. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
And they'd just be like, yeah, I'm going to go see it right after I see Oppenheimer.
I Barbenheimered on the same day I watched Barbie.
Which order did you guys do?
I did Barbie first, then Oppenheimer. So that was fun.
What did you do, Latanya?
I was almost falling asleep during Oppenheimer. It was a problem.
Yeah, I did watch Barbie first.
Yeah.
I will say nothing about almost falling asleep during Oppenheimer.
Because you actually did fall asleep during Oppenheimer?
No, I didn't. Like, I really, it takes a lot for me to fall asleep during a movie. Like, it really has to be something. I have friends and relatives, though, who treat the movie theater like it's fucking nap time. So that's always fun, to just have a snoring person next to you as you try to enjoy
a film. Here's my $20. I will take my 2.5-hour nap now, please. Yeah.
What is the longest movie that you have, please? The longest and quietest movie that you have.
A Bridge Too Far is screening today? I'll go see that for 3.5 hours.
But yeah. I loved like how the movie, like the film community kind of rallied behind both of these movies and made it such a phenomenon online. And you know, they were like syncing up the movies so that the bomb went off in Oppenheimer, America Ferrera was giving her big speech.
Yeah.
Like, they were just—it's just like really cool tie-ins, and I really appreciate Margot Robbie and her production company for being like, "No, we're not going to change our date. You change
your date." Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I love the pettiness, like that. Like, Christopher Nolan was like, "Well, this is my movie weekend," and it's like, "Well, now it's our movie weekend
it's
together."
It's also my movie.
And
it's
like, all of this, a lot of, like, the release date thing happened because Christopher Nolan moved. He didn't like this. Is all a domino effect. If he didn't like that Warner Brothers released Tenet on HBO Max when it came out, and so he left Warner Brothers, who he had made all, like, most of his movies with, to go to Universal, and then Warner, to get back at him for this, was like, we're gonna release Barbie on the same day as Oppenheimer, ended up like kind of raising both films.
For sure.
Yeah,
and I mean, it raised both of them to multiple award nominations at the Oscars and Best Picture nominations. I mean,
yeah,
I don't think that Oppenheimer is as big of a hit without the effect around Barbie, to be honest. I think it still gets all of the awards acclaim, but I don't think half the amount of people that saw it over the summer would have seen it over the summer.
Yeah, I'd be curious. I bet you there will be a study of, like, how much money did Barbenheimer bring in? I'm sure studios have already done that.
Yeah.
Like, like aside from like what it would have done separately, because I think I mean Christopher Nolan still really huge movies, and like Oppenheimer would have been a huge hit. It's back in theaters now and people are going to see it. And I just look, Barbie, well, yeah, Barbie was number one. Number two was not Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer was number three. Anybody want to try to guess what number two was? Might be something we do next week.
Oh man, Minions.
No, it's close.
If it's about children, I have no idea.
It is a children's movie. It is Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, I forgot that was even a thing.
Yeah.
I forgot that was in theaters then.
Okay. Made like worldwide, it was made about $100 million less than Barbie did. So,
That movie made that much money?
It came out like almost a year ago. And I think it was in the theaters for a long time. And kids' movies do very well at the box office. Yeah. And the whole like family goes and
That was the longest running kids' movie in theaters for a really, really long time because parents needed something new to take their kids to.
Yeah.
And so they just kept it in theaters.
Something else that I really liked about this movie, I'm just looking at my notes, is like I love some of like while I don't think I think the writing undercuts a lot of the satire and the points it's going to make. I do think there are like some very good lines in this, like all of the beach stuff at the beginning, like it's low hanging fruit, but it's like, I think it's like funny how like the way Ken talks about the beach and right. His life is being like, this is all the stuff that's going to become memes after. And like Mojo Dojo Casa House. Like very, like
I have to say Mojo and also Dojo or Casa.
Yeah. And he also, this one didn't get as much pickup, I feel like, but he also, I don't have it written down, but he like calls Barbie his like long distance, like the way he describes his girlfriend has like seven words.
Long distance, low commitment girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly. Like there were like so many different ways. So I think like that, like the way that the Kens and the Barbies like describe things in this movie, like the party, like that stuff, like that world building is like very good.
I also really like the generic, like, title of Brewski Beers, because it also has that meta, it also has that meta thing where it's commenting on the fact that 9 times out of 10, when somebody asks for a beer in a movie, they never say a brand of a beer, they just say, give me a beer, and the bartender just gives them, like, whatever empty tap on screen, so it's, like, generic beer, Brewski Beers.
There probably also was, like, a Ken or a Barbie that had, like, a bar. Like there probably was like a drinking Ken or Barbie where they didn't. They did just call it like a brew. They were like called it Brewski. Yeah.
Can't forget about Sugar Daddy Ken.
Oh yeah.
One thing that we have not talked about that I think is very important to discuss: the soundtrack to this movie is so freaking good. Like I know that there is a cutoff of how many songs the Oscars can nominate for one movie, but Dance the Night is such a good freaking song.
And they chose the wrong one. The ending song isn't the one I like. I rewatched I'm Just Ken right before we started this podcast.
The Oscars
clip of I'm Just Ken is so freaking brilliant.
Yes.
Like the way that they staged it to be like Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, and that was apparently Ryan Gosling's idea, was just freaking brilliant. It was
it's just so good. It's one of those things where you're like, is this happening?
Yeah.
Like, is this real? And then it does, and it's just, it's magical.
Mm.
Did you have a favorite of the three songs, Latonya?
That's tough. Probably Dance the Night, because like I listen to that song so much that I'm sure my neighbors probably hate me for many reasons, but that's probably a big part of it. I would put I'm Just Ken above What Was I Made For. I think What Was I Made For is a beautiful song, like have a cry to it, you know. But I, for one, do not think that Billie Eilish needed another Oscar. She's like 12 years old. She doesn't need two Oscars already. I just think that Dance the Night was a better song. Mm-hmm. And they both had, like, came at pivotal moments. But Dance the Night was when she asked if people ever thought about death, you know?
Yeah.
Which is like a, that's like a really good way to set off, like, the
chain of
the story. Yeah, like the inciting incident of this movie. And like that question is what leads to her like waking up the next day and everything's not perfect
with
anymore.
The flat feet and that was all really funny. That's like Margot Robbie doesn't get enough credit, I think, for her physical comedy.
Yeah.
As an actress. Yeah. Like she's so funny in a couple of those scenes in Wolf of Wall Street where she's just like mocking Leonardo DiCaprio and like like trying to like goad him on. Mm-hmm. And then she's brilliant in this. Like the moment like she realizes her like she can't walk and she's like walking sideways down the boardwalk mm-hmm. trying not to lose her balance, and then she loses her balance. It's like so brilliant. And then like she's just such a great physical actress.
She is. Yeah. When she has the scene where she's like in full tears and she gets down on the ground, but like in a stiff way and just kind of rolls over.
It's like flops back and forth. It's really hard to like upstage Kate McKinnon as an actress as a comedian, and she does it.
Oh, like, see, in Kate McKinnon, I usually really like Kate McKinnon, but Kate McKinnon was approaching Will Ferrell territory for me in this. Although I think in the second half, when they're like having the plot to retake Barbie Land from the Cannes, she's better. But like when she's weird Barbie, it's like, I don't know, like at the beginning, it was a little over the top for me, in my opinion.
Did you guys ever watch Rugrats?
Yes.
I think they patterned her look on the Cynthia doll. Angelica has in Rugrats.
Oh, yeah.
Where she's cut off all the hair and she's got like the weird clothes and she looks like the like mangled Cynthia doll from Rugrats. Yeah.
It's so true though that there were certain Barbies that my sister and I would just like destroy.
destroyed several of my sister's Barbies when I was a kid. I had an older sister, and yeah, she had Barbies. My favorite thing of hers to take though and use with my action figures was the pink Corvette. Like the two-door top-down pink Corvette. I would, like, put He-Man and Thundercats in there, and they'd just go ride down the stairs. Coolest car ever, yeah.
Yeah, it was a really cool car. I remember taking Barbie's head off of her body, putting rollers in it, well, cutting her hair, then putting rollers in it, and then microwaving that doll's head.
So that
the curls would stay in her hair.
You're like the Sid.
Oh, no. I don't think that's how that works.
That's definitely, you put the head right back on. And then she's got a new hairstyle.
She doesn't have a face.
Yeah.
She has a new hairstyle, but she doesn't have a face. Oh, my God.
Microwaves weren't as powerful back then.
Okay, fair enough.
I feel like the closest I ever got was we had a Stretch Armstrong that broke and all the like the nasty goo whenever, and like that is a real pain to clean up. Also, going back to the music, I actually really like the closing credits cover of Barbie Girl too. And I think like the ending of this movie, like the way it ends with the line about the gynecologist, because it just like, it's not what you expect, right? They drop Barbie off and you think that she's going in for a job interview,
right?
At least that's like, because she's in a business suit, like she's, you know, everything's a bit about Barbie's job, the different jobs that Barbies have. And so like when that line dropped, I mean, like I think that is like one of the all-time like last lines of a movie, like from my gynecologist.
Greta Gerwig wanted it to be like boom, like a hammer,
right? And then immediately the music starts and it's like I'm a Barbie, and like you're getting the closing credits. And the way the credits do is like all the Barbies are listed with like all the different actresses who play Barbie, and then all the Kens, instead of like being, you know, Ryan Gosling, Simi Liu, like all of each person separately. With that song, and I think that song is like gets overlooked by the
it's a really ones, I think really that good. it gets overlooked because Nicki Minaj is on it and no one wants to like anything that Nicki Minaj does in the year 2024.
Oh really?
Because of her pedophile husband who she defends and brother.
Oh, I didn't know any of that.
Yeah.
All right.
But it is a really good song. Ice Spice is there doing things. Mm-hmm. There's also the song that I think it's the Charlie XCX song when she's running through Mattel, like the really high. High energy one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just a really good, like, I've listened to the soundtrack solid too much at this point. I can't lie. Like I fell for the ploy of all, like all of the marketing worked on me this movie just worked for me. And I, like, there's nothing I can do about it. I made my sister watch it for my birthday, even though I'd already seen it. She hates me now. She was like, I can't believe you made me watch that movie.
Yeah.
How many times do you think you've watched it?
Probably only six.
Only six. Okay. Six timers club. Nice. All right.
This is I have a quick question for the men. Did you all feel like it was a very nice moment in the movie when Barbie apologized to Ken? Was that a focal point for either of you?
I don't
because
think so.
Some men that I've talked to were like watching this movie and they're like, it's so great when she apologizes to Ken. I'm like, yeah, that was the point.
I can't even think of the moment.
No, actually, it throws me off because I'm like, wait a second, that's not what this movie's been about, though. Why are we inserting an apology for Ken?
Yeah.
At this point in time, like, it's not needed right now. It's not. No.
You must always be apologizing to the men.
Yeah. No, I don't think it was needed at the end of the film for her to apologize to Ken.
I was wondering though, because at one point they show like fake mink Ken, like a little label for that. And I did wonder if there was a fake mink Ken, like that look where he's got the white coat, right? He's doing the
all of the costumes are product accurate to costumes that were available through Mattel.
Yeah. Like, yeah, set design, like
even
set design,
the like
really,
rollerblading
like, the,
ones.
Yeah. The rollerblading definitely looked familiar, yeah. And just the way the world looked, the Barbie world looked like. It did look like the toys when Gloria is like, I had that toy. And it does make you be like, oh, it'd be fun to go, like, for me to go to, like, X-Men World and be like, oh, or, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle World.
It's
like,
a shame they tore these sets down because they could have made so much freaking money selling tickets to the Barbie Land set.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we don't get what they did with Wonka, with the
Barbie
fake
Land
Wonka
theme
world
park
from Europe.
They're already making a movie out of that.
Oh, I am not surprised.
Of course they are.
Yeah. I also think, like,
Also stars Timothée Chalamet.
Last year, there were so many corporate movies, right? And this was not a real life, but we had BlackBerry, we had Flaming Hot, Air. Like, I know there's some Tetris, and I feel like there's, like, one or two I'm missing.
Plus all the TV shows.
Right,
over the last
couple
of
we're just
years,
getting so many corporate stories, and although this isn't quite, it is a like, twist on it. Yeah, it's like, all right, like, rip from the headline stories. Latanya, would you want to see a sequel? Would you want to see Barbie 2?
No. I'm not, like, big on everything has to have a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this movie did what needed to be done, and we can just appreciate it for what it is. And lightning hardly ever strikes twice, unless you're talking about The Godfather Part 2.
Maybe someday we will.
Maybe someday we will.
Are you watching The Godfather?
All right.
Good way to transition to
feedback. Should we whisper you all the way to the whisper me thing?
Whisper me the feedback. Yeah.
Should we whisper the feedback? Anything before we get to feedback from either of you?
Mm-mm.
Nope.
Right. Cool.
No, I think we're good.
All right. Well, before we do that, Box Office Mojo, no surprise, this movie opened at number one, $162 million, almost double what Oppenheimer brought in. So as much as there was the Barbenheimer, this movie still brought in a lot more. But, you know, this movie was more family friendly. It's about half the length of Oppenheimer.
Mm-hmm.
Open in more theaters as well. So let's see. Other movie. I don't think there's anything else we've done on this podcast. But we had number three movie that week was Sound of Freedom. All right.
We are not doing Sound of Freedom.
We are not. Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning was number four. It had been number one. I remember being very, like, that last summer being like, oh, man, we get to go see Mission Impossible. And then the next week, Barbenheimer. It was very fun. My friends and I all took the day off of work. We did Barbenheimer and then went to a beer fest. It was like a very huge day.
I admire your commitment to drinking. I really do.
Well, you know, only socially and for fun. I'm drinking a Spindrift right now. Thank you very much. I don't know. Nothing else that we've done on this podcast. Past Lives was number 17. Asteroid City, speaking of Margot Robbie, was number 14. The Flash, number 13. So, I think this might be our first 2023 movie. It's got to be, right?
No. I mean, we did Poor Things last week.
True. Duh. Okay.
No.
All right. Second 2023 movie. Very good.
Definitely not. Sir.
Still, wait, you know what?
What's in that spindrift, sir?
It may or may not have been somebody who suggested we do Poor Things off of this. So I'm not the only one who made that mistake. All right. Well, let's get into feedback, shall we?
Yes.
Megan the Librarian, she did write in. She said, not really my style of humor. And it was all very feminism for dummies, in quotes. That said, Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling were both great. And I like the Ken dance. I feel the mirror world treatment of Ken is almost really interesting. There's something there. Maybe the IP limited how much could actually be said, making the real world setting of Mattel so weird and unrealistic seemed like a strange choice at first. But upon reflection, I like it as a commentary on corporate culture. Mm-hmm. I should note, I never played with Barbies, and I don't know or care about them at all. Jem is the superior doll brand. 3.5 stars.
Jem!
Well, coming out for Jem in the Hologram.
Wow!
Oh, man.
I remember Jem. I had Jem.
I do, too. I think it was, what, 10:30 a.m. on USA Network? Something like that? On Saturday mornings?
Glimmer and glitter, fashion and fame.
So Jem is also Jem in the Holograms? That's not a separate Jem?
Yeah, Jem was a rock star.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Much like Skipper.
My sister was only a year older than me, so I watched a lot of the same things she watched.
Yeah, I had to share it up. Yep. I agree with what Megan says about Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling being so good.
Yeah.
And the Ken dance, it almost takes on like a new feel having now, like you see the Ken dance in the battles, and then now you're like, oh, I've seen it live also at the Oscars, which
it comes like right at the point in the film where you would get a dream ballet and a musical, which is it like adds that extra element of like Broadway feeling that I really love. Like,
yeah. I mean, it looks like Grease as well.
Yeah. It looks like a dream ballet. Yeah.
All right.
Love that.
Yeah, next.
All right. Robbie Smith writes in and says, an enjoyable rewatch. Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling are both very good in this as Barbie and Ken, that I couldn't really imagine anyone else playing them now. The Mattel executive stuff stood out to me as the weakest parts of the movie by a wide margin. 4 stars from Robbie. So there you go. Yeah, it's
Margot Robbie especially. I can't imagine anybody else as Barbie. Like, she just really embodies the look.
So. I mean, it was Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling pretty much off the bat for Gerwig. I know that this script, as we talked about last week, was when we were teasing doing this movie, it was like initially an Amy Schumer
film for a while,
and then that fell apart, and then Greta Gerwig took it over and started making this. So there you go.
Thank God.
This is definitely a better version of that movie.
Yeah. Do you guys have a favorite like costume for Barbie or Ken? Like, they have a number of like really like significant costumes they wear throughout the movie.
I think for me, it's like when he rides in to do the beach, when Ken rides in to do the beach battle, and he's got like the leopard print bandana with the black and white fluffy coat when he's riding the jet ski. I think that's it for me. It looks like kind of like the Johnny Lawrence look from Karate Kid. Like, it's that did it for me. That's my favorite costume. Yeah.
The pink cowboy outfit, just classic. So good. It feels like no one else can wear that but Margot Robbie.
Oh my God.
The cowgirl outfit, yeah. I really love that moment when she's sitting on the park bench and just like looks over at the lady, and they have like that shared moment where she's like, you're beautiful, which is like, I know it. Like, that made me smile. I thought that was like a small moment of sentimentality that this movie really needed, that in any other director's hands just would have hit the cutting room floor.
They'd almost did, actually. The studio wanted to cut it.
I think that's such a beautiful moment. I love that moment. Yeah.
I'm with the studio.
Yeah,
it, like that scene just like rang very hollow to me. I'm like, it was like not comedic enough or not serious enough. It was like too in the middle, and I just didn't like. I don't know. It just didn't strike me as genuine. And that's when we get the song that's where we get like the first part of the song that won the Oscar.
Right. What was it made for? Yeah.
But I do, I will say that maybe my favorite look, I do really like Ken in the white jacket, like the Karate Kid or the Dirk Diggler in the 80s.
Yeah.
Look. What is the song that he does in the, you've got the touch, you've got the power, like that era Dirk Diggler look. But I think my favorite, and partially it's because I've been to the Venice Boardwalk and they did a good job of capturing like Venice and
the vibe.
And, Santa Monica, is when they're rollerblading in those like hot yellow.
Oh yeah, the tie-dye. Yeah,
and like the pink. I don't think people would have reacted to them the way that they did in this movie, and maybe that goes back to the cartoonishness that you were talking about, Lasagna. That like things just feel cartoonish because like people are like coming up to her and like slapping her on the ass. I'm like,
yeah.
I like there are things I can buy. I'm just like that. I'm like, come on, that seems unrealistic to me. But
to be smacked on the ass.
Like just unprovoked, like just somebody walking up and doing that.
Are you,
dude? Are you serious?
Are you a 6'3" female in rollerblades and spandex?
You don't even have to be in rollerblades and spandex. I know. Like that shit happens all the time. It's weird, and you would think that's very over weird. The top, mm-hmm. But like, no, it's. One of my favorite lines in this movie is one of the saddest, really, because Ken is like, I'm just feeling like all these looks of adoration and there's not a single undertone of violence. And Barbie goes, mine very much has the undertone of violence. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I feel like that's what life is. Like when you're a woman, it's just like constantly being afraid of getting murdered because you rebuff someone's advances.
I get that part. I get, I just think some of the actions in that setting, I was like, but I don't know. Maybe I'm naive. Could be. So, all right. Well, with that, I'm next, right?
Yep. Travis is on next.
Travis. I enjoyed this movie much more on a rewatch. Perhaps it is because my first watch was after my eyes saw Oppenheimer for 3 hours. I thought this movie was quite funny at parts. And amazing set design. And for the most part, great acting. Also, the music in this movie is Chef's Kiss. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I could not stand the Will Ferrell character, or performance. But maybe that's the point. I do have the cold take that some of the messaging is a little too spelt out and does too much telling over showing. But again, maybe that's the point. 4 stars.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's all fair.
Yeah.
Ron writes it. It says, didn't enjoy this nearly as much on a rewatch. Some of the more deliberately cheesy moments being a bit more jarring, but still work pretty well overall. The opening 2001 A Space Odyssey homage remains brilliant. 4 stars for Ron. So there you go.
All right. I'm glad he liked the Space Odyssey homage.
Yeah, I think it's great. I like the Space Odyssey.
Yeah. You know my thoughts.
Although I do wish that it hadn't been like... So, I mean, that's the thing about watching trailers is like, you had already seen the Space Odyssey thing 10 times if you had gone to the movies before seeing Barbie, because that was the trailer for this movie.
Yeah. So I think it gives you a good sense of the type of humor this movie was going
for. That's fair.
Jim says Barbie was fine. Technically, it's very well done, but it's not nearly as funny or as insightful as the buzz about it implied. 4 out of 5. Here of the movie, Mattel for allowing a big swing with their IP. Mm-hmm. All right. Corporate culture, Jim.
Right. And then your brother Aaron writes in 2 stars. I just don't see what a lot of people saw in this one.
Oh,
thank
it's genetic.
God for thank God for Alan. He saved it along with the production design. So there you go.
He was a big. I know he was a big Alan fan.
Yeah, big Alan fan.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but your take. You're not allowed to have the take that Alan saved this movie. You're just not allowed to.
I mean, he did, like, almost fight those guys that were hanging up that light post.
Uh-huh.
I mean...
They were trying to build a wall, but they could only build it up.
Yeah. I feel like Alan just kind of, like, disappears for so much of this movie as well.
Yeah.
He's always there in the background just dancing, though, which mm-hmm. I like a lot. Yeah,
he's fun. All right.
Out there doing CeraVe commercials and Barbie.
There you go.
What a life.
Alex O closes things out. I know this is a common sentiment, but the Barbie Land parts are very fun, while the real world parts are mostly boring and way too goofy. Still, Margot Robbie rules, and giving us the I'm Just Ken Oscars performance makes it all worth it. 4 stars.
There you go.
Boom. 4 stars from Alex O.
All right. That's going to average us to a 3.64 from the listeners. So
that's not bad.
Not at all. Not as all over the place as the Poor Things reviews last week, which were very roller coastery. You know, most everybody who wrote in this week gave this movie 4 stars, aside from your brother and Megan the Librarian, slightly lower. But, you know, everyone pretty much had the same consensus, you know.
Yep. All right. LT, what do you, you can lead us off.
Okay. I'll start with a safer choice in the Estrogen Archive. These are movies, right?
No. Give us your review. No? Your review.
Oh, my review.
Yeah, no, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, your final thoughts.
I was like, save from choice. This is your review. You can do whatever you want.
Sorry. It's out of how many stars?
Five.
Okay. I give this movie a 4.5 because it was just incredibly enjoyable for me. I had fun watching it. Like, there are some movies that are just fun to watch. Like, I think back on my most fun experiences in a movie theater, and it was when I was like a wee bairn and I went to go see Coming to America with my family and Avengers Endgame, which I went to see by myself because I was an adult and I know how to have fun. And it was like, those are like the two most fun times I've had in the theater. I've not seen this movie in a theater. I've only seen it at home. But I had so much fun, like such a fun experience watching it, just like getting the little callbacks, the nostalgia of like having all the different Barbies there and the outfits and recognizing some of that stuff. The music being fantastic, just being like, just becoming a Margot Robbie stan at this point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed this movie.
Nice. Zach, what about you?
Oh boy, I've been dreading this moment. I came into this feeling like I was going to be a 2.5, and I'm sticking with that because I do think, like, I have to be honest about the way, like, the way that I felt about the flaws.
Yeah.
I think, like, it does some stuff really well, and I, like, it, which makes me almost, like, and, like, what I've seen Greta Gerwig do also in the past, like, it makes me, like, wish this could have, like, hit the high highs that I think it could have. And so that's really where it, I don't know, that's where I come down on it.
That's fair.
Yeah.
For me, I think that the things that this movie does well, it's doing so exceptionally well that it does make up for a good bit of the, like, questions and issues that we talked about throughout our conversation. Back in the summer when I saw this, I gave this a 4. I think I'm with the listeners and I'm not straying from that 4. I think that I can, you know, I really, really appreciate what this movie's going for and what they did execute so very well on, and can sort of just not worry about the stuff that does bother me about it, or is it working as well. You know, I'm gonna remember the Ken song, I'm gonna remember the Margot Robbie performance, I'm gonna remember the fun production design in, you know, 6 months from now when I think about this movie. I'm not gonna think about the things that I didn't like. You know what I mean? And so I think that keeps me at a 4 from my summer rating. So there we go.
All right.
So let's see, that's a 4 from me, 2.5 from Zach, a 4.5 from LT, and that's going to average us out with the listeners to a 3.55.
So just above a 3. Just above to that's put us a 3.5. Never mind, can't do math.
It'll be a 3.5. So there we go.
All right, but if you really like this movie or really don't like this movie, you still can get your feedback in until the end of the year.
Yep, and absolutely. And movie, bring that movie up or down or whatever you want to.
Whatever you want. All right. LT, who's your hero of the movie? Why is it Alan?
Yeah. Now I'm just thinking about that gif from Jurassic Park 3 where the Tyrannosaurus, where the Velociraptor turns and says Alan. Alan.
Spoilers for my my list. Oh,
Lord. All right, sorry, LT. Please go.
No, it's okay. I needed some time to think. I mean, it's cliche and obvious to say Barbie, but it, you know, it's her movie. I feel like it would be disrespectful to to just be like Ken. Ken is the MVP in this movie. Mm-hmm. I just think that the performance is so committed, but not in like a way that takes us over the top. I also put a little bit of like the behind the scenes working, like inner workings of this movie into it as well, because this is Lucky Chap. This is Margot Robbie's production company. Mm-hmm. And like, she really did bet on herself here and it paid off.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
So it was
Barbie.
Barbie.
Yay, Barbie. I'm going to cheat, and I'm going to give it to Ken and Barbie. I'm going to give it to Ryan Gosling and Margot Robbie. I don't think that this film works as well without the chemistry that the two of them clearly have, especially when they're, like, running around in the real world and, like, giving each other looks and just, like, going with each other's temperature for each scene. I think that they have brilliant chemistry, and I think it really, really pops here. So I think I'm going to give it to Gosling and Robbie.
Nice. All right. I think mine is just like the production design. So Sarah Greenwood is credited with the production design. Sarah Greenwood, who has done not anything similar to this, Pride and Prejudice, Atonement, the live action Beauty and the Beast, Sherlock Holmes movies, Darkest Hour, Anna Karenina. So like nothing quite like this.
Wow.
I think the production design is really, really incredible.
It was impressive
for that.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
Yeah, that makes sense if you've seen Anna Karenina. Like
really?
Yeah, the sets are beautiful, and it's all like it's shot on a stage. It's like a play.
Mm. Nice. All right. Well, good to know. Good to keep in mind. All right. Connection. So I think like we can probably breeze through this. But I did want to just point out both Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling are now in the Five Timers Club.
Wow.
Yeah. So they have both. I think it's really appropriate that both hit the Five Timers Club on this episode. So Margot Robbie, Barbie, Wolf of Wall Street, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, About Time and The Big Short.
Yep.
And Ryan Gosling, Barbie, Nice Guys, Notebook, The Big Short, and Fracture, which you have to scroll way down on Fracture on Letterboxd to get to Fracture, but that's the fifth one.
Crazy.
We've been circling back to people a lot this year. Obviously, Robbie and Gosling, but also circling back to Will Ferrell and the other guys. But I did skip ahead. I skipped all of the connections. Do we want to talk about connections to Poor Things? Are there things that we haven't discussed?
Yeah, a lot of it comes down to the production design and the themes for me.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, you know, it's about a woman going out into the world and discovering the awful truth about not just like the men in her life, but the actual like things that women are put through in order to be able to live their lives. I think that there's an empowerment that both characters come to through those experiences. But the lessons of that film, each film, I think, are very different. I don't know, LT. I'm not to be the one speaking on like the feministic messages of each film, but
I actually agree with everything that you said. I mean, there are obvious feminist undertones to both of these movies, but there's also like potential controversy with both of these movies about the way that they discuss feminism and, and all those criticisms are more than valid. But very similar in that way. And they both have kind of like a through the looking glass thing going on. And you enter very different worlds with each of these movies, worlds that like I've never seen before in film.
Philip
and Willem.
Yeah, there really is a line you can draw between certain parts of the way Ruffalo portrays Duncan Wedderburn, especially when he starts getting distressed about the way that Bella is treating him and the way that Ryan Gosling reacts to how Barbie is beginning to treat him. There's a reason they're both nominated for Best Supporting Actor. They're kind of similar performances in some ways where they're like so over the top. So yeah, I mean, that's another connection between the two movies for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do think like the two movies share so much DNA together. It's like crazy. They both came out the same year, both share, you know, like both nominated for Best Picture. Sorry, I had all the awards that they were both up for. Both
production design, cinematography.
Both supporting actor.
Yep.
We had, both in adapted screenplay. Yeah, production design. I think that's probably it.
Maybe costumes.
Costume design. Costumes, So
hair and makeup too. I think.
I think you know, the journey that both characters take all told very differently. And I think like both, like you said, Latanya, both get criticized for the way that they portray, like, it's like, you can't serve all masters, right? Like you have, you know, people are going to have different tastes on how the movie is, that feminist message is portrayed in the movie.
So I didn't want to share this from my review of, Poor Things last week, once we decided we were going to go with Barbie. I'm glad I didn't. And that's that basically in my initial review of Poor Things on Letterboxd, I said everything that Poor Things is trying to say in this film is what Barbie was trying to do, but better.
In Poor Things.
And I do think that there's, and I kind of stand by that now watching both back to back so closely, but I appreciate Barbie for what it was trying to do. I just think that Poor Things executes on its ideas better. You know, that's just
this competition is just another sign of the patriarchy. I will not pit these two movies against each other. the end.
Cool.
The end. That's fair enough. We still need a title. Movie ladder. We can no longer connect to anything else. We are not allowed to discuss this anymore. We are no longer allowed to compare and contrast movies. That's it. We're done.
I knew it. I knew that it would only take me a couple of appearances to completely ruin this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We still need a title connection. And I don't usually have a good one written down. I was thinking 2023. I mean, even just 2023 Oscars. But I do feel like, woman going out in the world, woman exploring the world. Latanya, do you have any ideas for like what our title connection could be?
I wrote down poor Barbie as a stand-in, but
bitches learning things.
Bitches being learning.
Discovery of bitches.
How about fighting the patriarchy?
Sure.
I don't know.
I guess.
I almost feel, and this is kind of jumping to my movie map, but like Wizard of Oz is my movie map, right?
Yeah.
Or like Dorothy. So I feel like almost like title connection could be like the Woman of Oz, like, I don't know, like something about like going, because it really is like both movies are like leaving this one place that is black and white and seeing the world in color, right? We get that in both these movies. Although it's kind of the opposite in this, because you go from like very colorful and bright to drab office buildings.
To Oz.
What about the women of the Oscar? I don't know, women of 2023? Like
women of, how about Oscars women?
I like it. Tanya, what do you think?
Yeah.
All right. Oscars women.
I've just been agreeing to ridiculous things recently.
Yes. And you know what? Better than us releasing a podcast that is Bitches Be Crazy, of our Barbie podcast. I think we would get on all the wrong Reddit boards if we did that.
If I did it, it would be fine.
Yes. If you did it, it would be fine. If the 220th episode of Zach and Brendan Talk About the Bees is titled Barbie, Bitches Be Crazy, or whatever it was that you said, I do not think that... We would be getting calls from all the wrong people. We'll just put it that way.
My friends and I decided, you know how there's like a murder of crows? Like there's like, you know, we decided that a group of bitches was called a conspiracy.
Well, do we want to call it the conspiracy of 2023?
No, I like your inside joke.
Oscar's women.
Yeah, that's good.
Oscar's women works. Even though Margot was not, she was nominated as a producer.
No, I'm just
not nominated for Best Actress. So, all right. Well, all of that. I already said my movie map was Wizard of Oz. Latanya, did you happen to have a movie map from this? From a movie we did last year that connects well to this?
It was The Wizard of Oz.
Actually. Nice. Yeah. Okay.
And Secret Life of Walter Mitty for the surrealism. Journey. Yeah, that was the other one I wrote down. But yeah, that was it. Yeah.
I think Shrek also actually is pretty connection to this. So, all right. One last thing before we get into pick our movie for next week.
I already did mine. Yeah, right. We're good.
Kelsey, you got one? One last thing that you haven't said yet.
No.
I think we had this exact same.
Did this last week.
Yeah.
Hooray for this movie getting made at all.
Boom.
Hopefully this movie leads to more. Like, so this is my one last thing. I had two things. One was more negative, and I'm gonna leave it out. But if you're curious, you can ask me. It's my one other criticism I have for this movie. But I will give a positive note on this. And it is that Greta Gerwig, before this movie came out, released a watch list on Letterboxd this might have helped you with picking your movies for next week, with 33 films on it that are like her movies that she says you should watch before in this interview. These are movies that you should watch before you see Barbie, because they're all movies that she references, movies that she loves, that are inspirations for Barbie. And I think, like, to go off of what Latanya said, like, it is good that somebody who loves movies made a movie, and more people who love movies should make movies.
Absolutely.
And they should people should love movies. So I do think that, like, it's a great list. It is an official Letterboxd list. You can find it if you search Greta Gerwig's official Barbie watch list. I'll also put it in the notes for this podcast. And the number one movie on this list, of course, is The Wizard of Oz.
Of course.
So, yes, hooray for movies.
Greta gets a point.
Greta gets a point. But Wizard of Oz is not the Letterboxd point for this movie, which we will discuss. Because now we're going to pick our movie for next week. Right. Once we do pick that movie for next week, send your feedback to us at Ladder Movie on Twitter and Instagram, themovieladder@gmail.com. Send us your feedback on the movie, your score, and then suggested next movies after that. All right. We're going to start with the listeners. We start with Megan the Librarian, and her first one is Birds of Prey. I love Margot Robbie, and I happen to have this DVD signed out from the library right now. Smiley emoji.
Nice.
Next one, Legally Blonde.
Yep.
Elle Woods is the movie character who came closest to being a living Barbie long before the Barbie movie was even a twinkle in the Mattel executive's eye.
Lots of pink in that film.
Yeah. Yes. Also came up as a suggested movie after you finished this on Max. And then last one is Lars and the Real Girl. Ryan Gosling is in love with a doll.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Very good movie.
All right. Robbie is next, and Robbie has Focus, Margot Robbie getting introduced to a whole new world of conning. I was thinking Concussion was what he meant when he said Focus. I feel like Will Smith is in both of those, though. That might be why I think that.
Is it? Okay.
That sounds right.
Maybe we do the Focus Concussion double feature next week.
No, thank you.
I didn't bring this up earlier. We talked a little bit about Barbenheimer, but Brendan, this could have been like in a different week. This could have been like one of our double weeks where we just did Barbenheimer. We did Barbie at the beginning of the week and Oppenheimer at the back half. But I guess we still.
That would have been a long week.
Yeah. Not good for March Madness week.
Yeah.
All right. And then Robbie's second one, La La Land. Ryan Gosling and lots of music and dancing.
There you go.
Also, there was the whole Emma Stone getting nominated, Margot Robbie not getting nominated. So we got that.
And they're about to be in a movie together. I'm thinking of Emily Blunt. Never mind.
Oh, all right. Yeah, Free Guy. Or Fall Guy. Yeah. Fall Guy.
Free Guy's the other one.
Yes. Yeah. Free Guy, Fall Guy. I'm going to put my plant my flag in the ground right now and say at some point we will do Free Guy, Fall Guy double feature.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Ryan Reynolds versus Ryan Gosling. Let's go.
Oh, geez. Yeah, yes. Seriously. The Ryans. Yeah. All right. Travis has, for next week, I would suggest Toy Story 3. Really, any of the Toy Stories would be fun, but Toy Story 3 has Barbie and Ken in it, and it was nominated for Best Picture.
I think this is a great idea.
All right.
It's a good movie.
Yep.
Ron has, we just talked about it, Oppenheimer, second half of Barbenheimer, Small Soldiers, children's toys interacting with the human world.
Also a great idea.
Not thought about that movie in a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a good movie, but a good idea for a connection.
Yeah. All right. And then Pretty in Pink. Well, the title sums up Barbie's image.
Yep. Mm. There you go. Point.
Jim has Barbarella. Just like in Barbie, a woman gets stranded in a strange world and misadventures ensue.
That's a very funny idea.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Alex O, complete the Barbenheimer with My Eyes See Oppenheimer. That is just so ridiculous the more you think about it.
It's so funny. I think what kills me is the 2 seconds later when everybody rushes the stage is like, what's happening?
What's happening? Mm-hmm. It's like, guy, do you know where you are?
It's not.
Is everything okay? Stop having children.
I'm really not.
Next one, a not quite person in pink goes into the city. That is Babe, pig in the city.
Honestly, Babe.
And then finally, more Greta Gerwig, Lady Bird.
There you go. I like Lady Bird.
All right.
That was
on my list. Olin suggests Mannequin. What is deemed in our world as a figure representing the female form comes to life to inhabit our world. Notable soundtrack starring blonde icon Kim Cattrall, of course.
Yes.
LT, you probably remember the music video for this film like I do. Of course. What was the song? I was racking my brain this morning. Couldn't remember the song, but I can picture the music video.
People say we're crazy.
Yes.
What do they know? Put your hands around me, baby, don't ever let go.
Oh, my goodness.
See the world around us.
Just fall apart. It's so good. Love Mannequin.
Yes.
Well, thank you for that. This is like Ryan Gosling performing
I'm Just This episode's getting taken down because we just sang that song. For sure.
They can't silence us.
Exactly.
All right, we'll and then finally, my brother Aaron closes out the list for suggestions with Spice World, Girl Power.
Oh, nice.
That's a good suggestion. I like that.
We are doing that song at karaoke at some point in our life.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. We could build this dream together.
Standing strong forever.
LT, you get to lead us off.
All right. Well, Lady Bird was already taken. So I'm coming in hot. With a little documentary that they call Bama Rush.
Okay.
So all of my picks are just ridiculous movies about women going through whole ass journeys to learn something about themselves. Okay. And if you aren't familiar with the concept of Bama Rush, there have been all of these TikToks and they happen every year. And they're all about the University of Alabama and their rush process.
I thought that might be what this was. Yeah.
Yes. And it's just the most unhinged videos that you will ever see, with like a lot of ultimately like women that are going to be disappointed by the entire process and like a lot of like otherism and like, you know, tokenism and just blandness. So this woman decided that she was going to do a documentary about the Bama Rush process and profile some of the first years that were participating in the process. But she also explores her own journey with having alopecia. And it's really one of those like things that has to be seen to be believed, much like Barbie.
Madden it to my list either way. So there you go. Nice.
All right. Next, I have Drive Away Dolls.
Yeah.
Mm.
Which is a movie that I just saw in the theater recently.
Yep.
Which is just a ridiculous movie in so many ways. But yet again, there are women traveling outside their comfort zone, literally, going on an adventure that they don't really realize they're on and coming to a conclusion. That may or may not be uplifting.
It's Cohen, one of the Coens, right?
It is. One of the Coens and his wife.
Nice.
Okay. The next is I, Tonya.
There you go.
Margot Robbie, of course. But just a ridiculous villainous turn by the guy, what is his name? Bucky from the Avengers.
Oh, Stan. Stan.
Sebastian Stan.
Sebastian. Yeah.
Yeah. Playing Tanya Harding's abusive husband. And really, Margot Robbie just putting her all into another role.
It's a good connection because it also, like, deals a lot with, like, image and in the skating world. So there you go.
I have The Wizard of Oz on my list just because it's obviously such a big influence of this.
Whoops, we already did that one, though.
I know we already did that one. my next is not something that I recommend that you watch, actually, but something that I thought would be hilarious for this list, which is a terrible movie called Don't Worry, Darling.
Yes.
It's just...
That is actually a pretty good connection to this, though.
It's a really good connection, and it's... My sister absolutely loved that movie, and she was appalled that I hated it.
It's so bad. Like, it had promise, I feel like, at some point. Yeah. You know, but then you start boning Harry Styles, and all bets are off. So, the next one I have is Pleasantville.
Yep, my there list.
It is? Yep. Not anymore.
Nope.
Not anymore. In the queues.
And then, okay, I actually have three more, but I'll be quick. Miss Americana, which is another documentary about Taylor Swift, because I've just been trying to get all the men that I know to watch Taylor Swift related content recently. And I think it would be hilarious if the two of you did. Then we have the movie Enchanted, Disney movie starring Amy Adams and Patrick Dempsey, where Amy Adams is like a Disney princess and she gets into the real world and still acting all Disney princessy. And finally, a classic movie, Life Size, starring Tyra Banks and Lindsay Lohan, where Tyra Banks...
I heard of this movie, yes. I think Rob podcasted.
I was going to say, didn't they do this on, like, Renata?
They did?
Yeah. I think Rob podcasted about this movie at some point because somebody convinced him to. Yeah.
Yeah. Doll comes to life.
Yeah.
What more can you say?
Oh my god. All right, all Zach, right. You're first for the host picks.
All right. Well, I can't believe this one hasn't come up yet. I'm going to put Lego Movie on there.
Yep. I wrote it down as we were talking, but I figured it was on yours.
Toy Comes to Life, Will Ferrell basically reprising his character. Michael Cera is
song.
Yeah, Michael Cera is in the sequels, but he's not in the first Lego Movie. Yeah. I think he plays Robin, I believe.
Yep.
Next one, let's go with Pretty Woman.
Yes. I love that movie.
Kind of all, just all reasons. It's also got that like kind of fairy tale. You know, it's like very Cinderella-y.
Yeah.
Yep.
If Cinderella was a prostitute.
Yeah. Is that L.A. or New York?
L.A.
It is L.A., yep.
It's in California, too, so there you go.
All right, next one is But I'm a Cheerleader. This movie has been on my watch list. And it's just got like a very like Barbie-looking visual to
poster,
it. Like, the poster.
Yeah.
Next one, I will do The Truman Show. Again, character who is like lives in a bubble, doesn't realize what the real world is and experience. Well, you know, learns about the real world in a way. So that is four. Brendan Shetty, five or six?
Five.
All right. This one came out last year. It's about a toy. It's supposed to be very good. It has John Cena in it, although I do not know what John Cena does in this movie. We didn't even talk about John Cena as the mermaid, Ken, but...
I mean, I talked about the merman and merwoman briefly, but I didn't say John Cena.
Yeah,
we talked about Brewski Beers.
Yeah.
Brewski Beers with John Cena, so maybe that's our title connection next week. Brewski Pizza with John Cena, because TMNT, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, what is it, Out of the Shadows? Is that the name of the movie?
That was on my list because it's also toys. They were toys that were made into a movie.
Toys that I had. I had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Toys that were made into a movie.
And it came out last year. So then next week I can say, did we do any 2023 movies yet? So Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is my last one. I have a couple on my
Are you talking about Mutant Mayhem, right?
Oh, you know what?
Because there's so many TMNT movies.
Yeah, I think the one that Cena is in is not Mutant Mayhem, but Mutant Mayhem is the one I want to do.
Okay, let's do that one then.
Oh, no, he is in Mutant Mayhem. Yeah, okay. Yes.
Good,
okay. 2023, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem. John Cena is fifth billed in this movie.
Cool. I am going to start with some movies that were made based off of the toys or cartoons that they were based on. G.I. Joe.
Yep, that one.
Masters of the Universe starring Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, man. That is a classic.
It's an 80s classic.
I was not allowed to watch the He-Man cartoon when I was younger. I started it, and then my mom didn't want me watching it. She thought it was too violent, so I wasn't allowed to watch it. And so she told me He-Man was broken, and I would just walk around saying He-Man broken.
That's so sad. And then instead of going for the live-action Transformers, I will go with Transformers, the movie from the 80s as well.
You've got the touch.
Where Orson Welles voices Optimus Prime. So there you go. And then those are my first three. I will go with a doll who wants to be a real person and goes on an incredible Oz-like journey. This came up last week. I'm going to give it another shot. AI, artificial intelligence. And let me do one more. I had written down Lego Movie. You know what? In honor of LT being here, I will go with a doll who comes to life. This one tries to murder everyone. Want to play?
Oh, no, Chucky.
Child's Play.
Yes.
I thought you were going to say Mithrigan.
No, not Mithrigan. We are going to go all the way back to Child's Play.
All right.
There you go.
So go ahead and read them off, Brennan. Let's pick.
All right. Taking it from the top. Birds of Prey. Legally Blonde. Lars and the Real Girl. Focus. La La Land. Toy Story 3. Oppenheimer. Small Soldiers, Pretty in Pink, Barbarella, Oppenheimer again, Big Pig in the City, Lady Bird, Mannequin, Spice World, Bama Rush, Drive Away Dolls, I, Tonya, Don't Worry Darling, Pleasantville, Miss America, Enchanted, Life Size, The Lego Movie, Pretty Woman, But I'm a Cheerleader, The Truman Show, TMNT Mutant Mayhem, G.I. Joe, Masters of the Universe, Transformers the Movie, AI Artificial Intelligence, and Child's Play. I get to go first. I'm going to do my listener pick first. Toy Story 1 was on my list of also-rans. I ended up not picking it for my main list after I saw Toy Story 3 was submitted, so I'm going to pick Toy Story 3. I think it's a great idea.
Nice. All right, I guess I could do my listener pick next. I don't know how my eyes can't see Oppenheimer. These movies will forever be linked.
Uppy. All right. LT, from your listeners, pick.
Was Lars and the Real Girl the listener pick?
It was, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'm going for that one. Ooh. I think that movie, I haven't seen it in a while, but I really was charmed by it when I saw it like the first couple times.
I believe that's the same director as I, Tonya.
Oh. Okay. So. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I think that's his first movie. All right. Are we doing Craig Gillespie? That's the name of that director. Brendan, do you go now, or is it? I never.
I'll take my host pick or all guest right. pick. From the host slash guests, I will go with. It came up a couple weeks ago. I've been wanting to revisit. I think it would be really fun to do I, Tonya. It could take us in a very interesting direction. Let's do I, Tonya. If we pick that,
Craig Gillespie, big winner tonight. Oh, and I get to go next. Pleasantville, because that was on my list.
I love it when things from my list get chosen. I'm just doing very well on this podcast.
If we do Pleasantville, we just can have every week we can just do Wizard of Oz.
Right.
Exactly. I have to go with Pretty Woman. Basically because I haven't seen Pretty Woman in a while, and I'd be interested to know what I think of the sexual politics of Pretty Woman with a 2024 lens.
That's fair. Yeah. All right, so there we go. Our final six are our final narrow down March Madness style. We have Toy Story 3, Oppenheimer, Lars and the Real Girl, I, Tonya, Pleasantville, and Pretty Woman.
All right. Streamable. This should, some of these should be pretty easy for you to guess, Brendan.
Yeah, I mean,
Toy Story 3
is Disney Plus.
Correct.
Oppenheimer's on Peacock.
Correct.
Lars and the Real Girl is on Netflix.
Nope. Hoopla and Canopy.
Okay.
Also Tubi. Also Pluto TV. Good. Also the Roku channel. So lots of places with ads to watch that.
I feel like iTanya is still on Max.
It is.
Nice.
Pleasantville is rentable.
Rentable. Okay. And Pretty Woman.
Yep. A couple places. Nope. Hulu and Peacock.
Ah, Hulu Peacock. Wow.
Yep.
Interesting. ABC, NBC sharing.
Yes. Also, we didn't say it, but the Letterboxd point for this week, nobody suggested it. It was Everything Everywhere All at Once was the movie that Letterboxd says is the most most similar to this.
For really?
Yep. The similar films are Everything Everywhere All at Once, Free Guy, I Feel Pretty, Ghostbusters 2016, Being John Malkovich, and Life Aquatic. Yeah, very strange.
Life Aquatic?
Sometimes they use cast connections, but weird. I do not know why. I guess maybe because it was like Everything Everywhere was the biggest movie of 22. I don't know. So
I have no idea.
Man. All right. How are we feeling about where we want to go?
Toy Story, Oppenheimer 3, Lars and the Real Girl. Yeah. Well, man, now I'm getting.
I hope there's not an Oppenheimer 3.
Right.
I think one was.
Yeah, enough. No, Oppenheimer 3. Oppenheimer, the 3-hour cut. Yeah. It's just Oppenheimer. Lars and the Real Girl, Tanya, Pleasantville, Pretty Woman. I don't know. I mean, all of these I've seen except for Lars and the Real Girl.
Yeah. Fact, I think Lars is. I do like that Lars has Ryan Gosling. I think that's, and it's like a connection about a doll in a very different way.
True. Yeah. I've never seen it.
I feel like Oppenheimer, we can skip.
I already watched it for a second time, like very recently. I'm kind of.
All right, skipping that. I wasn't the biggest fan of I, Tanya. I wouldn't be terrible to revisit it, but I feel like if we're going to do a Credit Gillespie, I'd rather do Lars than the Real Girl.
Okay.
So we're down to Toy Story 3, Lars and the Real Girl, Pleasantville, or Pretty Woman.
I really like the idea of doing a Toy Story, but I get it if we don't want to skip all the way to Toy Story 3. It's really up to you.
I don't know. I mean, I could do Toy Story 3. Pretty Woman, I don't know if that's like the best connection.
It's a cute idea.
Yeah. All right. Cute, not hot. All right. It's not a final three. Toy Story 3, Lars and the Real Girl, or Pleasantville. Maybe throw out Pleasantville because of the lack of streamability, even though I do think that's a really good. I mean, I think it's a great connection in terms of like it does delve into gender politics as well.
For sure. Yep.
The way women are treated.
Yeah. For sure.
Maybe we should do it. I don't know. Maybe it's really good.
I mean, I do like Pleasantville a lot. I mean, there's also like the whole reality versus the real world versus the surreal world. I mean, Toy Story has the same thing, though.
All right. I don't care. Either one. Let's down between those two. Toy Story 3 or Pleasantville. Which one are we doing?
Oh, I thought you wanted Lars and the Real Girl.
I mean, that's fine. But I just eliminated it just because
we're down. Oh, you did just eliminate it. Okay.
I mean, why not? We got to pick somehow. I feel like Reese Witherspoon is kind of Barbie looking. And I could see if Barbie was made 10 years prior, Reese Witherspoon would have been in it. So let's do Pleasantville.
You want to do Pleasantville? All right, that's fine.
Yes. I win again.
Yeah.
Another one.
Yes, this is a competition.
Zach was really, really going for Pleasantville, so there you go.
I don't know. I just feel like we couldn't decide. I don't want to sit here twiddling our thumbs forever.
Yeah.
So Pleasantville it is. All right. It is rentable. Get it at your library or rent it on any of the rental platforms. Or who knows, maybe sometimes between the week when we record and release, it's on other services.
This is true.
Gary Ross, director of Pleasantville. So he did. He did the first Hunger Games movie.
That.
All right. Pleasantville coming up next week. I feel like Pleasantville's come up a bunch on this podcast. It'll be fun.
It has, especially after we did Wizard of Oz. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, LT, what are you looking forward to watching this week?
My brain is blanking right now. I still haven't started Shogun, and I know that I said I was going to do that last week, so this is the week. I'm looking forward to reality stuff, because Top Chef is back tonight, and I'll be podcasting about it for Rehab. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm excited about that, getting back together with Kurt and Haley. That new Apple TV, there's like several things on Apple TV Plus that I want to watch, because whenever I make myself sit down and watch an Apple TV Plus series, I always have a good time. Mm-hmm. Like I'm always slow to getting to them, it seems, but like they end up being pretty good. So I think there's like Palm Beach is a new one. There's I can't remember the name, but it's the one that's Manhunt. About like the assassin. Yeah.
Yeah. Manhunt. Yeah.
Yeah.
I started that. I read the book. The book is really good. The show is good, but I dozed off in the second episode and haven't gone back to it yet.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I really like Tobias Menzies. I found it engaging, but there were, you know, questions I had about the research they did as far as some of the look of it goes. But yeah, it's, and there are some choices made in some of the acting performances, let's just say.
Nice. Yeah.
But Tobias Menzies is great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything else I'll see that you look forward to watching? Survivor? Basketball?
Of course. Yeah. Survivor, maybe some basketball. Gymnastics is what I'm looking forward to. Conference championships are coming up.
Here we go.
We're on the road to determining which teams are going to be allowed to go to nationals. So it's very exciting.
Well, my school won the Big Ten, I believe, in gymnastics. So.
What school did you go to?
Michigan State.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they have a really good team this year. They're mm-hmm. a dark horse to be in the final, which is only four teams allowed on the floor.
Oh. There we go. Nice. Good. Good for them. Go green. Brendan, what are you looking forward to watching this week?
Yeah, as LT said, Top Chef is one of my favorite shows every year. Really looking forward to that. Other than that, I'm not really sure movie-wise what I'm going to get into this weekend. I'm probably going to rewatch Best Years of Our Lives for Film Spotting. They're nice. Doing a William Wyler marathon, and Best Years of Our Lives is just so freaking good. So I might rewatch that just because they're doing it. Other than that, I don't know. I'll get into something, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I'm looking to watch looking forward to watching basketball and squeezing some other things in. I do. My brother said that Love Lies Bleeding is great, and so I want to rewatch St. Maud before I go see that.
Yeah.
Which I know I really like St. Maud, but it's been a few years, so I don't have a great memory of it.
Same.
So yeah. And we're all going to be watching Pleasantville. Another point for LT. LT, was Barbie? Barbie was my suggestion last week, not yours.
Yes, it was.
And a point for a guest point, the rare guest point.
Yay. There you go. Yay. I get them pretty often.
There you go. I believe you.
So. Oh, also I'm finally seeing Dune this weekend.
Oh, nice. Ooh.
Like it's been a way too long. Like I should have seen this movie already. But I'm excited that I finally am going to see it.
It is a great movie to see in theaters.
For sure.
Yes. LT, any other podcasts? I know you said Top Chef. Anything else that you want to plug?
Yeah, Top Chef. And then I have a couple other projects that are like kind of TBD that I will let people know about as they come. And you can always mm-hmm. find out stuff like what I'm doing if you follow me on Twitter, which is at LK Starks, or you can follow me on Instagram at
Stormborn1222. Nice. All right. Anything else from you, Brendan?
Nah, not yet, but hopefully some exciting news in the future. But nothing I can talk about right now.
Cool. All right. Well, we'll see everybody next week for Pleasantville. You can rent it or get it from your library and send in that feedback at laddermovie@gmail.com. And we'll see you next week.
Everybody,
I can remember zero songs from Pleasantville. I'm sure there's just like a nice score or like a theme song. There's probably a theme
song from the fake TV show. Yeah,
like the Leave It to Beaver show.
Yeah.
So, yeah. For some reason,
really good movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in so long. For some reason, I had Wonka on my list for this week? Like, I just felt like you could connect Barbie to Wonka, but I couldn't tell you why.
It's the aesthetic, like the surreal color.
The colors, like,
The color.
Colorful movies are 2023. So that was on my honorable mentions list.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, shall we read some Letterboxd reviews? I love Shut Up Tim's review that he said. This is from when this came out, and he said, "Saw this with my wife, daughter, and mother. Not only did I sit and watch, I listened."
Aww.
I just think it's so funny. It's like so Shut Up Tim.
That's Shut amazing.
Tim. It's such a Shut Up Tim review, but I love it.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Axel says, "Can someone please check on Alan? I'm afraid he's going to kill himself."
Oh my God.
Dropping the kids off at Oppenheimer so the adults can watch Barbie.
There you go.
Lots of reviews that are about Ken, I will say. This one says, "A man is allowed to ride horses and beach. A woman can only have an insane amount of lesbian subtext and flat feet." And
that's Grace, true.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Gracie says, "Sometimes you got to remember that you are Knuff."
Totally, I am Knuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, you see that, that's like the piece of merch from this movie that you see so much. And then Olivia can close us out. Says, "One depression Barbie and one anxiety Barbie and one OCD Barbie for me, please."